Once again, as I said at the beginning of Mass, it's a great joy to be with you all today and to celebrate. In particular way, it's nice to be in a place of relative familiarity. So I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, I'm the vocation director for the diocese. And throughout the week, I've been at Sheffield Lake and Brunswick and Rocky River and all over the place. But I'm most comfortable on Euclid Avenue. And the reason being is my home parish is Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Wycliffe. Went from kindergarten to eighth grade there. I'm at the seminary currently. That's where my office is. I lived there for 9 years. And so to be home here on the beautiful Euclid Avenue in Willoughby is a great joy. On Friday of this week, a significant anniversary and milestone was celebrated in this very city and in the surrounding region. And that's the 10th anniversary of the Cavs winning the championship. And so on Friday afternoon, I had a little bit of time, and so I looked up on YouTube, and I watched kind of like the final 5 minutes of the game. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most like nerve-wracking things that I could have done, because here's the deal. I knew how it ended, but I thought that in maybe some weird way, I was living in the Twilight Zone, and it wasn't going to end in the way like I remember it ending. And so like LeBron wasn't going to get the block. Kyrie wasn't going to get the shot. Kevin Love was not going to lock down Steph Curry at the top of the key. But like in watching it, I remember going back to like the immediate moment of like in person 10 years ago watching that. I was down in Florida. I was with a couple of buddies and we were at like a restaurant. And I remember watching it and like freaking out the entire time. Like, I know how this ends. I'm from Cleveland. We won't win, right? And at a certain point, like I remember watching the TV and all of a sudden the clock is ticking down and they get the rebound and the game ends and the announcer says, it's over, it's over. Cleveland is once again a city of champions. And I immediately stood up and said, I'm a champion. But here's the deal. I did not play 1 second in any of those games. I did not hit one shot. I did not lock down anyone in defense. Like, nothing of me played. But yet, I was a champion. And so too was the entire city. Remember everyone gathering downtown, and there's millions of people, and there's people perched all over the place. There was this sense that, like, all of us have won something, even though only some of us have participated. I use that image, and keep that image in your mind, because a similar thing is used in the first reading. Jeremiah is the prophet. And Jeremiah is called forth by God to do a number of things, namely, to speak God's word to God's people. And so what a prophet does is a prophet is there to engage the people in relationship. And part of that is to say, hey, the life that you're living, something of that has to change. And so Jeremiah looks and he's thinking, okay, no one likes me. No one likes my message. This is really tough. But this is not just merely my mission, my ministry, but the Lord has appointed me for this, and my God is a mighty champion. Like, it's that whole sense that, like, the terrors on every side, the whispers, the inconsistencies and people not receiving the message, he's like, this isn't just a matter of me. This is a matter of God alive within me. So too, if you look at our second reading from Romans, there's this great image that St. Paul uses where he talks about like through the one, namely through Adam and Eve, the many have experienced some level of suffering through original sin. So think of it like this, right? Through the one, another analogy, the Browns, the many have suffered, okay? But what he's talking about is that like through one person, sin has entered the world, and because of that, all of us are affected by this. But like in the similar way, he then talks about like Jesus. Through the one, namely Jesus Christ, many are justified, many experience mercy, and there's this sense of like this overflowing sense, as St. Paul says at the end of the reading, if I could find it here. For by the transgressions of one, many died, but how much more did the grace and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? Because here's the deal. I did not defeat sin or death. I did not go to the cross, die, be buried, and then rise on the third day. But Jesus did. And Jesus' victory over sin and death is our victory too. that we become participants in his championship. We become participants in his great act of love and mercy to say, hey, we, although many, are benefiting from the one. And to think of that, like, through one man, Jesus, like, think of how the world forever changed because of the one, namely him. And I think part of it, too, by participation in that, like, our call as Christians is this. It's the desire of Jesus and of the Father to live the life, death, and resurrection of his Son once again in you. For those of us who have been baptized, we are Christians. And it's not just merely in the sacrament of baptism that we're cleansed of original sin, the sin of the one, that the many experience this, but like we are transformed into beloved sons and daughters of the Father. We are claimed as his own, but so too, we are empowered with the grace of being Christians, namely, of letting Christ be alive in us. And so like that's the charge. And I think part of it is we see in our gospel too, like Jesus is calling these individuals in and saying, hey, I'm calling you to myself, but also I'm calling you out. And know that as you go out, there's no sense of having to be afraid. I oftentimes say that like the opposite of faith is not atheism or disbelief or apathy, but like it's fear. Because we look at the sense of like, okay, there's something being entrusted to us, a mission, a ministry for Christ to live once again within us. But like, what does fear do? It turns us in upon ourselves. But faith is this like motivating principle that keeps us moving, constantly aware of like where and how God is active and how God is inviting us to make movements. And so for us to see that and to know that, but I think also too, like to also recognize like the beauty of this second reading, the one and the many, is this. You are also the one. Because like God does not relate to you as the many. I know it's Father's Day, and there's a beautiful thing, like, if you look at, like, a father, my own father is deceased, but, like, I remember, like, after him passing away, I was looking at, like, why are my brother and my sister not mourning in the same way that I am? And it's not just simply because I'm different than them or whatever it may be, but, like, my dad did not relate to us as a generality, but related to us as a particular person. And I think part of it is to see that, like, our Heavenly Father does not just relate to us as, oh, you're the many, but no, you're the one whom I see, whom I know, whom I love, whom I've created, who I protect, who I strengthen, who I give of myself to once again. And so as we come to the altar today, yes, the many are fed, and the many receive an overflowing sense of grace as we experience communion with God. But for what purpose? Yes, so that you can experience salvation, so that you can experience communion, so that you can experience mercy and grace and the love of God poured out. But it's also the sense that like that it overflows into the lives of the many. Namely, those around you. Namely, your family, your friends. Namely, a world that is in need of the love and mercy of our Father. And so there's this charge that like, okay, you come to the altar today and you're fed. You're given communion. You're given Eucharist. You're given the grace that is given from the one. But he compels us outward. Like Mass doesn't end with me saying, hey, just stay here. Everything's good here in this church and the world out there is crazy. No, it ends with me saying, hey, you are one and you are called to now go to the many and to take what you've been given and to bring it, so that the many can experience the salvation of our God through you. And so there's this beautiful opportunity to recognize, certainly, first and foremost, and always, the action of Jesus. Like, it's not just a matter of what he did, but what he's continually doing. And as we recognize the action of Jesus, we recognize his invitation for us to do what he did. I'll say it once again, in him we live and move and have our being. And he desires to live and move and have his being within us so that we as the one can go forth from this place to the many and say, hey, guess what? I bring you the love of God. So it's an opportunity for us to participate in his victory, to participate in his championship. We are not the ones who can ever defeat sin and death, but Jesus can. And for us to come to the altar today and to recognize our role as one for the sake of the many. Amen.